Boom. Here it is. Another week, another episode. The Best of Both Worlds of Wrestling Podcast. I am Chris.
And I'm Khalil on this road to WrestleMania.
Yes, and it's looks like it's starting off as a bumpy road.
Because, yes, one we've seen before, it seems. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, so we'll jump right into it. The hot tag. If you have been under a rock this weekend, this Friday, this past Friday. Yeah. This past Friday on SmackDown, the end of SmackDown caused a bit of a hubbub as Cody Rhodes came out. And I think, I didn't see the segment, but I think he cut a promo saying like he's finishing his story. And part of finishing his story was like destroying everything Roman loved or taking everything away from Roman. And
something people, along those lines he was saying.
Yeah. And so people thought it was going to be him challenging Roman for the Universal title at Mania. But instead, he brought out The Rock. And
he said
The
that
Rock
he went to The Rock for counsel in his promo.
For counsel, okay.
And sort of making the point that that going to finish a story at WrestleMania is not necessarily what the his story entails. Mm-hmm. You know, he tried to make that distinction.
Yeah.
And and then he talked about wanting to take away all the Roman stuff, and within that, he went to counsel on how to go about all of this. Then The Rock comes out.
Okay.
To what statistically they are saying is the most disliked YouTube video the WWE has ever put out. At the time of the recording that I heard, the numbers, it's probably higher now, but the numbers were at like 420 something thousand. And the prior most disliked video was a Charlotte Flair video where she decided to enter the that match with Becky and Ronda.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They said that the most dislikes at the time for that was around 82,000.
Okay.
So
yeah, I remember people being upset
about
that.
People have gone out of their way to say, we don't fuck with this. And that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, like, it's been so vocal that TMZ picked it up. Like, when TMZ is reporting on it, that's when you know, like, all right, this is getting crazy.
Well,
but
I'll let you in on a little media secret. Mm-hmm. We use a lot of times newsrooms use a website called CrowdTangle, I believe it is. Is it CrowdTangle? I think it's CrowdTangle. But it's a website basically that you can monitor other websites' traffic. So you could choose whatever website you want to. And so they would choose their competitors. And the competitors you look at the competitors and see what stories are working for them. What are people clicking on? And as long as there's some shit that people are going to want to click on and know about, they're going to be on top of it. That's the name of the game in media. So they probably seen that, whoa, why is everybody watching this over here? We got to talk about it, whether they care about it or not. And that's the appeal of The Rock. And that's the appeal of the mass appeal of the WWE at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, converging again. And, that's what you got, man. But people, I personally was not, it was cool to me. I mean, I'm more curious as to how we make it make sense. I'm not mad I see The Rock. I like seeing The Rock. But we got to make it make sense for the fans is how I look at it. So,
Yes.
We'll see. But as you saw, there is a whole We Want Cody campaign now.
When you see talent start tweeting it, I'm like, okay. Now, is this part of the story?
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna watch Raw later. You know what I mean?
Like, that's why I didn't initially understand the backlash, because I'm like, yo, WrestleMania is still a month and change away. You don't know how this thing is gonna, like, I know
it's
wrestling
really 2 months away.
Yeah. Wrestling fans hate the term wait and see, but I feel like this is the perfect wait and see situation. Like, we don't need to jump to any conclusions.
They haven't even announced no match yet.
Exactly.
You don't know nothing.
Nothing. Like, just relax. Like, the most The complaints I saw the most were like The Rock is swooping in. Like they wouldn't have had an issue. They wouldn't have had an issue with it if Cody didn't gesture towards Roman at the end of the Rumble. And basically saying, I'll come for everything that you got. And then the second complaint was how Roman buried the heavyweight title
in that promo.
Like he called it like a consolation prize, or basically alluded to it as it.
He mentioned Seth Rollins' name, and the crowd didn't happen to react instantly. And he was like, "That's right, no pop." That's how he started it. Like, that's how he started it. I was like, and then he was talking about like, if you're the workhorse, like, would if you're a workhorse, then he starts limping around. Would you be walking around like this? I'm like, yo, this dude is having a blast with this promo, man.
And he basically told Cody,
like, he's like, look, man, I'm not going to beg you to face me. You know, you know where the number one is at. You know about the story, yada, yada, yada. And that's kind of where that went. But
okay,
Roman was in his bag at an obscene level on Friday. And I think The Rock coming out was, in effect, leveling him off a little bit. But I think it's more about what The Rock represents. More so than maybe the match right now. I just more like, yo, this really is the OG.
Yeah.
And he really is sort of the head of the table right now because he's on the board of directors.
Yes. You know what I mean? So exactly. We're just
like, I have no idea what's happening. But thankfully, fans care enough that they got this whole backlash thing going on.
Yeah, that just shows you how invested the fans are in Cody's story. So the initial reports that came out were, they were saying, basically there were two kinds of stories that came out. On one hand, like it was a decision made by The Rock as a member of the board to quote unquote save WrestleMania. Because after the injuries to Punk and the injury to Seth, they wanted to do a match or do something to generate buzz that will help create groundswell for WrestleMania that they thought they lost with the Punk injury. So in that case, that makes sense, but I still feel like, you know, you could still, like Punk is a big blow to the WrestleMania card, but I don't think it would have affected. WrestleMania is so big that like something like that is not enough to affect it.
Yeah, it's a blow for those of us that follow it every week. And wanted to see a story play out, but
yeah,
that arena, that stadium is damn near sold out regardless.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If anything, they're just concerned with how many people actually watch it, I'm guessing, like, outside the stadium. But, like,
but I don't think that should be an issue either.
They'll figure it out. Yeah. They've been in worse situations.
Exactly. And so here's the more interesting take that I saw. It was a decision made by The Rock and the board of directors to try and draw attention away from the Vince McMahon thing in the headlines by creating something, potentially trying to create something bigger that would overshadow it. And I guess for a moment, it made people forget about Vince. But,
I mean, this, I don't know if that's really the like.
Yeah, the that's an alleged reason. Details? Yeah.
But the way that they're moving these details out, they're doing it strategically. Like,
yeah.
It's very strategic. So, like, they're going to come out with some more stuff maybe before WrestleMania.
Yeah. Here's where it gets spicy.
They have to make the Vince's stuff like a separate entity now.
Yeah. Here's where it gets spicy, though, because of the Vince thing. So, there's rumors that. So, this Vince thing is going to get bigger. Just due to the fact that John Laurinaitis is trying to separate himself and some other things I'll get into later, but
he's taking everybody down with him.
Yeah, the prevailing theory is that The Rock and I wouldn't say his partner, but basically the creative guy with him, Brian Gerwitz, are basically laying the groundwork for a coup. Basically, because they feel like if this gets big enough to the point where Triple H may have to step back and that whole regime may have to step back, The Rock and Brian Gerwitz are going to step in and take over full creative control. That's the the tin foil hat theory that's going for this. But I don't know, man.
I disagree. I hope Triple H had nothing to do with none of this stuff. Man. I hope he can stay away from it as far as he could, man. I really hope so. You know, hard to believe that that would be the case. You got to let things play out.
Yeah.
But that's my hope. Because I'm enjoying, I have thoroughly enjoyed the last couple years of professional wrestling without Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Running creative. I have
been
invested. Absolutely. Yes.
And it's, I think what fans need to remember is, what is Cody's story? Is it winning at WrestleMania? Is it winning the Universal title? Does it matter where and when it happens, or that it just happens? Because he could win it at SummerSlam. You know, they could be unification type of deal. He could beat Seth at Mania. Maybe whoever, if they do the Rock versus Roman thing and it's for the title, whoever wins the title, they could do a unification match at SummerSlam. And that might even be a bigger deal in the long run. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still a wait and see situation. Like, I don't think it's, oh my God, burn everything down, da 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 da. Their WrestleMania's ruined, like these fans are making it out to be. It's just like, relax.
That's why I was a little surprised, but I do understand. We're just wanting your voice to be heard. Like, yo, we really, like, because I understand, like, this is the deal, honestly. Mm-hmm. The company, there's so many people over right now, and the writing has been such. Mm-hmm. You don't really need The Rock anymore.
No.
I think that's the prevailing feeling. I like to see him. But there were other years where we was like, damn, it would be really nice if we had The Rock. And this year's kind of like, it would be cool, but like, we kind of straight.
Yeah.
And I think he has to figure out how he fits into that in a way that's palatable. Or he needs to lean into being a heel. He got two choices.
Yo. The first thing I said was, this is the perfect opportunity for Hollywood Rock. Yeah, see, I use my power on the board to get myself a match. I'm The Rock. Don't you understand? Like, I am The Rock. And then play off of that. Because he put out a tweet on Saturday that seemed like basically he didn't even acknowledge the negative feedback from it. He was just playing into all the, oh, he's like, oh man, did you see the reaction? It's gonna be big, da 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 da. I'll see you in
the people,
Philly,
the people
Roman.
Love the people's champ.
Yeah, things like that. So I'm like, yo, this is perfect to segue into Hollywood Rock. Like that, especially after that tweet. So I'm hoping, like I know you've been hoping for a long time that makes
this
a return.
Like Hollywood Rock,
it's worth it.
You don't get hear a peep out of me. I didn't even consider that, to be honest with you. I didn't, because if him going heel doesn't necessarily mean he'll be Hollywood Rock. You feel me? I just figured he might just be an asshole. But if he does become Hollywood Rock, ugh, nigga, tap me in.
Listen, please. It'll be perfect. Please. It'll be perfect. But
I'd be all over that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be all over that. But we'll see. You know, WrestleMania season is. You know what they say about publicity, you know, whether it's good or bad, all publicity is good publicity. Mm-hmm. And I think notwithstanding, we ain't talking about the Vince situation, but just regarding the actual creative product, whether you like The Rock being involved or not, the fact that that's making rounds, which is sort of probably the reason why they had him involved anyway, anything he do is going to make news, then it's a plus for the event. And then they're doing this joint this week, press conference in Vegas, Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes of that, you know?
I forgot about that. It's going to be what, on Wednesday?
Thursday, I believe.
Thursday, okay.
Not sure what time, but Thursday.
Now, that's what's up. So, to segue into the McMahon thing, so like I alluded, one of the alleged reasons for this Rock involvement was to set up the groundwork for a possible coup due to what might be an impending power vacuum due to this case. Because John Laurinaitis has completely separated himself from Vince in this, calling himself a victim, saying like he was an unwitting participant and things like that. So I'm like, all right, this is going to be dirty. But then the accuser Janelle Grant, her lawyer did an interview yesterday, I believe, where she said like his resignation isn't enough. Like, we're on a mission to cleanse the WWE of that, like, perverse. Basically, like, they're trying to clean house of all the freaky frog stuff going on in WWE.
So and honestly,
how? Listen, she feeling, said, "Yeah,
my feeling is for some. I just keep my spirit says Triple H is clean. Mm-hmm. My spirit says Bruce is dirty, man.
Oh, Bruce Pritchard. Oh yeah, dirty. Brother Love. Oh yeah.
And, you know, if I'm wrong, and if I'm lying, mm-hmm. I'm flying, man. But if I'm wrong, it's my spirit says it, yo."
Yeah,
he
so
seems a little creepy like that.
The concerning thing, well, concerning for Vince is that they are in the process. Her lawyer is in the process of meeting with other potential victims and trying to see, like, you know, the veracity of their complaints and see, you know, who's lying, who's really just trying to be a part of this. Like, but the plan is to have more victims come forward,
like a class action type of thing.
Yeah, and then they want to get the federal government involved and try to get this to the discovery phase, which means they're going to go through everything with a fine tooth comb and all of Vince's dirty skeletons are going to be out. So this is going to get real, real messy. Real, real messy. Real, real quick. And then with that, if Triple H ends up, and a few other people, if like the whole regime ends up having to basically bow away from the WWE, then people are expecting or suspecting that The Rock and Brian Gerwitz and their crew will be controlling things now. Like The Rock, of course, not day to day. The Rock is such a busy man. It'll probably be Gerwitz in the position of Triple H, and then Rock just overseeing things as a member of the board.
I hope that's not the case, man. Only because I really enjoy Triple H involved. Obviously, in this era that we in, we can't have nice things, and people are disgusting and doing disgusting things, which makes it harder for you to consume what they produce.
Yeah,
and so in some cases, it makes it impossible for people to consume what they produce. And so, I hope it, you know, Triple H's hands could be wiped clean. But that dude, Brian, the thing with him is, like, it's not uncommon for him to be around The Rock. Like, even when The Rock comes back for little stints, Brian is there. So I'm not as alarmed about it, him being around right now, because he's always, like, around. Like,
wasn't he?
And he was a head writer for the company for a time.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the long-form storytelling model that the company is going with.
Yeah.
And has allowed more features for more wrestlers, and has, as you can see, has allowed them to everyone to fucking pop. Like, everybody's pretty, you want to see everybody, which is sort of attitude era feeling. Like, it didn't matter what place on the card, Val Venus, D'Lo Brown, Godfather, Deborah McMichael, you know, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Like, it just, you want to see everybody, yo. So
yeah.
They're in a good place in that respect.
Yeah. That was one of Vince Russo's positives. Just finding something for everyone to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes the product that much better, because you don't feel the need to change the channel at any time, which is ultimately what you're trying to get your viewers to do, not change the channel. So, yeah, we'll see how this thing goes. It's not going to end anytime soon, and it's just going to get messier and messier. So we'll see how it goes. And quick AEW news, Tony Khan has another big announcement this week. It's been a while since we had one of Tony Khan's big announcements, but the feeling this week is that he will be announcing the signing of Mercedes. Reports were they wanted to do it on Saturday, the Saturday of the Rumble, but they decided not to, because the Vince stuff broke that week also. So and I think they have a show, and this show is going to be in Phoenix, but I believe they have a show coming up soon at the TD Garden in Boston, and people think that that's the show she'll make her debut, her being from Boston, that being her hometown. Yeah. So we'll see.
What's your thoughts on this, man? What's your thoughts on this signing? I feel like I feel differently now than I did like 4 months ago.
I feel like now it's I want it to happen, one, for the fact that just so there could be the speculation is done. Because the speculation was the worst thing about it. And she was feeding into it with her Instagram posts and stuff like that. So, but I mean, you know, she's an entertainer. She has to do that. But I think the biggest reason I want it is because I think she has the cachet to force Tony to improve the booking of the women's division. So he's starting to do two women's matches on Collision. It's still on Dynamite. It's still one match and a segment. Maybe that'll change with Mercedes' influence, but that is basically the only reason I think it makes sense for her to sign AEW is if she knows that she can change the way the booking. Otherwise, I don't see why she wouldn't have gone back to WWE, especially with Triple H being in control now and things like that. I mean, her and Naomi are close, but maybe she feels the type of, because someone replayed the clip of or reposted the clip of Michael Cole that SmackDown after her and Naomi walked out. How they basically was like, "Oh, they're a disappointment. They let you down." Da 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 da. So I don't know if she,
that wasn't Michael Cole's call. That was not Michael Cole's call.
Yeah, but I don't know if she still feels the type of way about that because it was so public. But basically, if she can affect the way Tony books the women's division, then I'm all for it. Otherwise, it doesn't really make much sense to me.
It's like I said about Punk. Everyone comes back.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it, number one, let me ask. The women's matches, the slight increase they've had with their feature on AEW, from what you've seen, do these matches have any story attached to them, or are they just random Mortal Kombat matches?
It's tough now because they brought the rankings back.
Okay.
So
that's not a story based thing, really.
Yeah. So one of the Serena Deeves just came back. So the last 2 weeks have been her basically, you know, reintroducing her to the audience, giving her good. But they've been back and forth matches. I think like there hasn't been a squash match, like, because you know it makes no sense to have two women's matches when one match is just 30-second squash. Because are you really doing anything? But I think especially with Collision, he's using that to build up contenders for the title. And that, because Collision is, to compare it, Collision is basically the pure wrestling show out of the two, between that and Dynamite. Like, Dynamite is more sports entertainment geared. Collision is just pure graps. Like, the matches have stories, but it's more so the sports delivery that they were talking about doing with AEW, that's more so on Collision. Dynamite focuses on mostly the top of the card. So everything on Dynamite has been focused around Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. So everything's been story filled on Dynamite, and things are more sports based on Collision. So it's tough to judge. But the fact that they're doing two matches on Collision is a step in the right direction. I still think they need to do two matches on Dynamite, because Dynamite gets the most eyes out of both shows. So, and it's your flagship show. But we'll see.
I could dig it. Speaking of sports presentation, I don't know if you've noticed recent weeks, they're doing some things different in WWE. This is off the cuff, but I've noticed this. Like, they've been doing more like wrestler arrival type things, like what they do in the NBA. Like what? Type shit. They've been doing that a lot. They've been doing these cool, like, if you check out the promo with Rock and Roman, for instance, They've been doing these new camera angles where they'll peer over one person's shoulder. You can see the reaction of the other person, like a diagonal
type. Oh, okay. Of view. More cinematic type shots.
And then like the still photos they use to promote matches, they're using like action photos instead of like someone posing. So it's like if someone looks intense and like they got their mouth open, like they're using like that type of stuff. Like an NFL player on the cover of Madden. You know what I mean? Like that type. So they're tweaking things. This is the post Kevin Dunn era. Mm-hmm. And these are just little things that I'm picking up as I'm, you know, as Sam Roberts would say, watching the product. And it's cool to see. I'm not mad at it.
I want less, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like LED screens. That's the only thing. I just need less LED screens. You don't have to get rid of all of them.
AEW biting the whole ring rail LED screen now. They got that.
I do. Right? I hate it. I initially liked it when it first came out because I think NXT did it first. Like during the black and gold era when Triple H was running NXT. I think they did it first.
I liked when they had the ramp. The runaway was
that I like.
I thought that
I like.
That joint is hard.
Yeah, but I think the ring apron should just be ring apron. And I don't think they're doing the guardrails. It's not going to change
it. You know why, man? Because these are all vehicles for ads.
Yeah, that's
And that's what the name of the game. Like, even if I saw this in last year's Royal Rumble, and I think it happened again. Even the countdown clock is sponsored now, which is smart.
Yeah.
But this whole world and the companies that run it, they're always looking for ad revenue. Like, if you ever watch. I used to work in social services. They used to give us a VPN password if we were, you know, dealing with clients in the field to have security for our laptops. Now you see in all these podcasts and stuff, they're pushing VPNs for regular people. We don't really need it. To be honest with you, we don't really need it unless you want to watch your Netflix in another country or something like that. Like,
That's
you don't really need it.
For but piracy.
They realize like, yo, if we could just let this shit be accessible to regular people, that's like extra money. That never hurts. And that's so everyone's finding ways to just get extra money. And so you're not going to see a change in whether it pertains to, the LEDs, those LED screens at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a new wave.
Unfortunately.
You know? Attitude era, everything looked like scaffolding. You know?
Yeah.
And trust.
That industrial look, man. Like, warehouse.
It's just eras, you know?
But yeah, we'll see. But I have one more story, and this is more of an international story. So Rossi Ogawa is he is the man who founded the Stardom promotion in Japan. For those who don't know, Stardom is a Joshi promotion, which means it's all women's wrestlers. And okay. I can't remember. It started in the early 2000s because I think in the early 2010s is when it started. And so he founded the company and then sold it to Bushiroad, which is basically like a TKO in Japan. They're a big entertainment conglomerate. They own different wrestling promotions. They also own New Japan. They do video games, TV shows, all that. But he was fired yesterday, if not the day before, because he was suspected of poaching talent. So what happened was when he sold the company to Bushiroad, he had a 5-year no-compete clause, which means he couldn't start a competing promotion for 5 years, which ends in 2024. Also, about 80 to 90% of the top stars and like basically upper mid-card level talent in Stardom, their contracts end in 2024. So the prevailing thought was that he was going to start his own promotion this year, take all the top talent, and because of that, Bushiroad fired him. Now, the way this ties into American wrestling is that before he sold to Bushiroad, WWE made an offer to buy Stardom. And he declined it initially because this is when Vince was in charge. He didn't think he would retain all the wrestlers. And for those who don't know, Stardom wrestlers that you do know are Asuka, although she performed under a different name when she was in Stardom. Okay. I can't remember the name right now. It escapes my mind. But Asuka, she left the company early on because she was not a fan of Rossi anyway, the guy who just got fired. Io Shirai, aka Io Sky.
Io Sky.
She's one of the bigger stars in Stardom. And I don't know, this conflicting reports that she either came over to WWE.
Kana, I think her name was.
Kana, yes. Yes. Yeah, that's what it was.
Kana.
Now, I can't remember if Io came to the E because of Asuka or because.
She had a name called Ramen Woman at one time. I'm sorry. I'm just. Oh. Ramen Woman.
Yeah, Kana, it's crazy. Hime,
Princess, yeah. Kana. Skull Reaper Kana. So there might be different versions of Kana that was over there.
That's where her face paint, the crazy face paint, that's where it originated from, that Kana character.
Right.
But so Io came, and then Kairi Sane came over. Io left once it came back, right?
Yes.
So she left, and then she came back, and I believe Rossi.
So did Kairi. Kairi got leg. Kairi, I think Kairi chose to leave.
Yeah, she chose to because she had the she kept getting. She's the one who got hurt by Nia in that match. I think she got concussed by Nia, so she wasn't happy about that, and she left. And she came back because she saw Io finally getting booked the way she's supposed to be booked. So that brought her back. But people think Rossi is the one that got Io back initially after her first stint. So people think there are ties between Rossi and WWE, especially with how Julia, the biggest star in Stardom right now, is all but confirmed to be going to the WWE once her contract is up in March. So that's one thing. So the other thing is, while he's been helping talent get to WWE, he's been actively denying talent from participating with AEW. So either by... either with the excuse of, oh, we got a show that night, da-da-da-da, or whatever reason. It seems the only Stardom stars that AEW has are Toni Storm, but she didn't come from Stardom. She went from Stardom to WWE and then from WWE to AEW, so that doesn't count. Jamie Hayter, but she only left Stardom because of COVID in 2020. And even then, she went to NXT UK before she came to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
There's Riho, but I think she knew Kenny Omega since she was a child, so that is her tie to coming into AEW.
Is that the little girl he had the match with?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
And then
those are the matches they show people. It's like, tell me this ain't fake. I'm like, oh yeah. God. Why do we have to show this?
Yeah. But so the only stars AEW were able to get from Stardom were ones who either did a stint in WWE first or had personal relationships with someone in AEW. So that was a problem for Bushiroad, because Bushiroad, who owns Stardom, also owns New Japan, and they actually have a contractual working partnership with AEW, so that was affecting their bottom line. So I'm sure that played into a factor of him getting ousted. But if you see an influx of Japanese women in any company, either whether it be WWE, TNA, or AEW, this is the catalyst of it. And there was one slight rumor that he might go to WWE and help them start NXT Japan. We'll see about that. But otherwise, the prevailing thought is he's going to start his own promotion. And that because the women are so loyal to him, because he gave a lot of these women their big break,
right,
once their contracts are out, they're all leaving anyway, regardless. So they're kind of screwed over at Stardom right now. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll see who ends up in WWE.
Pro wrestling industry is so interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So if you see Asuka, Kyrie, and Io get more homies, like a Julia or something like that, or anyone else, this is why. Yeah. And then I think the women who wrestle for Stardom who aren't from Japan, I think they'll go to AEW because they all have ties with Mariah May. Mariah May was another one. Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter when she gets back from injury, and Megan Bain, who was already signed to AEW, but she was sent on an excursion to Stardom, and she just came back. So it's basically that's the kind of split it'll be. The Japanese girls going to WWE, non-Japanese girls going to AEW.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great segue. Mm-hmm. Because not only did we get some idea of maybe where WrestleMania might be going regards mm-hmm. to The Rock and Roman and Cody Rhodes, they got the ball rolling quickly with this. There's not a lot of foreplay involved with Bayley deciding she's gonna go for Io now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought they were going to milk this a little longer and maybe at Elimination Chamber make that decision.
Okay.
But she spilled the beans on SmackDown.
Yo.
And
spoke to them in Japanese.
Did you hear that? I love that. I didn't even consider her mm-hmm. doing that. That was a beautiful touch.
Yeah. When she loved it.
The crowd was like, oh.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, I've been hearing y'all talking shit. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
That was cool. That was so cool. That was so cool. I this is why I hope Triple H have his hands clean.
because I
was out Friday. So when I got home, that's when I was like, well, what happened tonight? And I'm like, wait, Bayley chose already? She already just what happened? And I watched it. I was like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
She said some shit. And I know the arena didn't know what she said, but they was like, oh, shit, she talking your language now, homie. You know? Like,
and let them know. Let them know. Yeah. Oh, y'all thought y'all was keeping secrets from the kid? Nah.
In as much as, I'll be frustrated Punk won't have his moment,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad Bayley's getting hers.
Oh, yeah.
Because at WrestleMania, it's a long time coming.
Yeah, and if she wins, that pop will be huge. It'll be huge. I love it.
There's gonna be a pop when her music hits.
Listen, she's trying to get Paramore.
Better than that old theme, yo. So like,
she's trying to get Paramore to perform it live at Mania. So,
oh, is that her song? Is a Paramore song?
I don't know if it's a Paramore song, but she's definitely trying to get Paramore to perform it. Like, she's starting a whole online petition and everything, like hashtags and everything to get Paramore.
I'm not mad at it, yo. Just the beginning, there's been, I think we talked about it last week, but the, you know, the lack of distinct theme music
mm-hmm.
is always an issue. But her shit starts off so cool. I'm like, oh, yeah, son. Like, the crowd gonna pop as soon as they hear them the heavenly sound. They're gonna go crazy. They're gonna go crazy, man.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Bayley and her fits.
Yo, so that's another thing. I came home. I said, no one's what? That was a nice pair of pants, Bayley.
Listen, she got a few pair of pants with expertly placed cutout holes. Like, there's been a few pairs I've seen her in like that.
Bayley, man, look. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Respectfully, of course.
You know, Dr. Umar ain't going to bother me for that one, I don't think. I think I'm clear on Bayley. I could fawn over Bayley, man.
Oh, especially with the nose ring? Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I want her to do for me, though? Bring back that pixie cut.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, they look at that like a heel type of thing, but bring me the pixie. Oh. With the fade on the sides.
And suit jacket.
Please, Bayley.
Listen.
If she ever were to hear this.
Listen, man. There's a few in this business that make you have to say respectfully speaking.
Yes. And we and in this day and age, we must preface our comments with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People out here be wilding.
Oh, as an aside, speaking of respectfully speaking, your man Shawn Michaels is out here like recruiting IG models for NXT. I saw a segment with
is he?
Chase U. I guess the whole gimmick is Chase U is losing money and da da da. And so I forgot her name. Oh, I cannot remember her name for the life of me. Her solution was to do a calendar, a bikini shoot calendar. And they brought all these girls out. And I'm like, yo, you know Shawn had a hand in this. Shawn was sitting there looking like Drewski at Drewski doing the fake.
Drewski's kids is crazy, son. The last one I saw was like, is this chick mad thick, right? Mm-hmm. She's spilling out everywhere. And she's like, you know, she's about to be like, yo, I want to perform or whatever she's saying. He's like, no, come here.
No. You already got it. You already got it. Come here. No, you're signed. You're signed. Like, that's how I imagine Shawn Michaels was.
And then this dude starts clapping. And he's like looking at the security. The security trying not to laugh. That shit is mad funny, son. This dude is yo. All right, Shawn Michaels. About to perform. No, come on over here. Sign this contract.
Listen, Shawn Michaels, because I was looking at the roster the other day, because people always talk about how NXT is the horny show. Like, it's got all the young, good-looking people, da-da-da-da. And I was like, yo.
Tiffany Stratton, what it do?
Word.
Lash but I'm like, legend. Yeah. Hello.
But it's really like, yo, like, outside of the actual athletes, like, you know, Ivy Nile and people like that, they all just look like IG models or TikTokers. That he was like, you know what? Come through. Let's see what you can do.
If they can go, mm-hmm. I'm come on with it. If they can go,
listen,
because like Tiffany Stratton is nice, like in the ring, mm-hmm. she's like really good, son. Like they have an embarrassment of riches right now.
Yeah, it's
you know,
crazy.
When we were younger, I thought, you know, I enjoyed Victoria, I enjoyed Jazz, I enjoyed Trish, I enjoyed Lita, I enjoyed Gail Kim, I enjoyed Beth Phoenix. You know, mm-hmm. Natalya. I enjoyed a lot of these women, but I felt like they had different eras where they were in and out, and very short periods where they were all in it together. And I felt the Knockouts had like the division, beautiful people, and Awesome Kong, and like they had a solid division.
Eventually,
and I would
Gail
give
Kim.
Them that over the WWE, but now like, and I know AEW got some people. Son, the WWE, y'all seen the Women's Royal Rumble, son. Like, that shit is deep. And they got stories that make sense.
Yeah.
And, like, and they only get it. They got Jade, bro. Did you see the little punk video when him and Jade linked up before the Rumble?
Nah, I missed
it. He ran over there, gave her a big hug, and they cut it off in some of the other videos. But if you watch the full punk video, you can see their full conversation. And he's like, hey, man, who would have thought? What are we doing here?
Yeah, because if you, I don't know if you remember, there was a match that Jade had with Thunder Rosa in AEW. She had to attack Thunder Rosa with a chair. Mm-hmm. And like, she was telling the story. She's like, yo, I've never used a chair. No one in the back even came up to tell me how to use a chair except CM Punk. CM Punk was the only one to come up to me and be like, hey, this is how you do this, da 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 da. And
I'd be telling people, When you real like that, son, like you see other real people. Like I know me and CM Punk would be good buddies, yo. You know, but because we ain't want to roll with the crowd with everything they want to paint you. Yeah. I know that dude is helpful, yo. That dude be chilling, son.
Yeah,
that dude be chilling.
Yeah,
and his work speaks for itself. That's why I always ride with him, son. Because like, the dude don't really have bad matches. So I'm sorry, like the dude understands how to like get you invested.
Yeah, like he's not the
face or a heel. Like, he's amazing.
Because for someone who's not like a top athlete or like not the most technical, he still has some of the most compelling matches ever. You know what I mean? He knows how to draw you in. You're never bored watching his matches.
Nope.
It's like, you know?
Nope.
You know, speedy recovery for him. Of course, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get them John Cena stem cells.
That's what you need to do. Platelet rich, whatever they call it.
Yes, the little therapy.
Let's go.
the joint Kobe used to do on his knee every summer and everything like that.
We used to have to go to Brazil for that, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Shoot, man.
But
we attach that tendon and let's get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all I really got this week, man. It's a big week for the speculation.
Yeah.
And we're recording this on Monday, so we will watch Raw later like the rest of you all and gain an idea of what the hell is actually happening.
Do you got a slam of the week this week, or you didn't see much?
I haven't seen much since we recorded, man. I was out Friday.
Yeah.
I watched a little of the Vengeance Day pay-per-view last night.
Okay.
Well, but the Trick Williams turn happened. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. So wait, who turned heel?
Not Trick Williams,
Mello turned heel.
The Mello turned on Trick, sorry.
Yeah.
Which was entertaining for me. I know they've been hinting at that for a while. They had a tag match against Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker earlier, and they lost that. Mm. I guess that proved to be a catalyst to the breakup.
Even before then, No Mercy, I think it was in September, Trick won the Trick beat Dom for the North American title, and then Mello lost the world title match to
Dijak, or not Dijak, but that guy.
Yeah. Who's actually here. Yeah, I think him and Tiffany Stratton are dating, by the way. But there was a point where Mello was congratulating Trick and giving him a pound, and he was like looking at the North American title, like, yeah, I'm about to take that shit from you. But Trick ended up losing it back to Dom, so that whole thing went away. But I think that's when the initial seed was planted for this ain't gonna last. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm gonna rewatch it because NXT, they got a lot of black people in that motherfucker. So I gotta support and show love.
Yeah, they're making it happen. They're making it happen. But if I had to choose a slam of the week, it'll be that match. Mm-hmm. Well, the ending of that match, really.
Okay.
Because Trick lost it. He lost it fair and square. But it was a good match. But it was the turn and the crowd reaction to it that I appreciated.
Yeah.
And on a side note of that, real quick, what NXT does with their PLEs, they book these smaller venues that still have a little bit of depth to them. Still looks like it's somewhere.
Yeah.
And it works. The place was packed and it looks good. I say that to say that there's a lot of things lately about people taking pictures at AEW events, Dynamites that are in smaller venues with not a lot of people, or bigger venues without a lot of people. And they got to do a better job of, I don't know if it's a promotion thing. I think it's more it's building stories and building something that people want to come and see. And they need to take a page out of NXT book in that regard, because they'll play a smaller arena. And it'll still, like, if you watch it, it looks like a legit joint, look like a legit pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Yeah, I think they just hired someone. The dude used to work for WWE. It's a black dude. I can't remember his name, but I want to say they just hired him in December.
I think you're right, because there's this other guy that used to work there, Raphael Morphy. Was the guy doing that type of stuff, and he'd step down, to take a job at BSE at the Barclays Center, actually. I think.
Oh yeah. So we'll see. They did Collision. So my slam of the week is the entirety of Collision, because every match was good. Like the opening match was Eddie Kingston versus Brian Keith, which was so good and was capped off by Brian Keith getting signed. Or being told live that he's All Elite. Brian Keith is black, so that's the reason. Black History Month, and he's really good, really good. they booked him on a ROH pay-per-view, and he came out to Still Tipping by Mike Jones and Slim Thug and him. So listen, he's one to watch. He's gonna be one of them ones. The second match it was Daniel Bryan versus Bryan Danielson versus this his name is Hechi Cero. So what AEW is doing, there's this company in Mexico called CMLL, and yep. they've been building a feud with they jumped John Moxley on Dynamite Wednesday. And so Bryan Danielson, I gotta get it right. He had a match with Hechi Cero, who's from CMLL, but he's like one of their premier submission technical wrestlers, and it was an amazing match. Like, dude was doing submissions I've never seen before. Like, and I watched wrestling for a long time, and when you pulling out stuff, when you in 2024 pulling out stuff people haven't seen before, that means you know what you're doing.
That's how I feel about the Lucha Bros, man.
Yeah,
that's why I have so much respect for them. They be doing something like, bro, mm-hmm. who thought of that?
Yo, Mexico is awesome. Listen, Lucha Bros, they still innovating the game as a whole.
Let me ask you something though. Like, what do you think is behind the AEW's insistence on constantly having these talent exchanges, and do you think it helps their business?
I think it's two things. Like, you see how we talked about with Jordan Grace being in the Rumble? It was WWE showing Jordan, like, yo, eventually you got a spot here. This is made for you, da da da. I feel like that's partial. I feel like that's partially what AEW is doing with these international talents. Like, yo, you know, if your contract is up, because all of a sudden they got Will Ospreay who signed now, and they might have Okada who signed now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's one thing. And I think the other thing, like, it was initially done as something to be different than other wrestling companies, because for the most part, like, outside of TNA, no, like, WWE wasn't doing that, at least not on the scale AEW was trying to do it with the whole Forbidden Door situation. But I also think it's just Tony being such a wrestling fan that it's, he always loved, like, the Cruiserweight showcases on Nitro and shit like that in the WCW era. So I think that's a part of it, too.
Yeah, but so, my thing only is that, like, all them dudes eventually became WCW wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my only thing. It's like, and then they were weaved into their weekly programming. So that's why I'm like, well, y'all keep doing this stuff and people come and go, but, like, and it's a good match, like you said, but, like, what does it mean ultimately?
Yeah.
You know? How does it live, you know, with, you know, that's all. But it's I'm WWE conditioned, so.
Yeah. At least in,
that's why I asked the question.
In this specific instance, they're building a feud between the BCC and these. Well, they were invited luchadors.
Oh, that's why them dudes came and jumped Moxie on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this Wednesday, they're doing BCC versus three members from the luchador group in a six-man tag. So. They're building up on this. Serena Deeb came back. This was her second match back on Collision, and she is so good. Like, she is just, she legit might be the best. Like, she's Dean Malenko reincarnated. She's Dina Malenko, Deanna Malenko, just with the way how she escapes moves, her transitions, her, how she sets up. Like, she's amazing. And she wrestled Queen Aminata, who's also black, so, you know, Black History Month thing.
Oh, yeah, I know her, man. I mess with her.
Yeah.
She's coming
and they had a competitive match, too, so it wasn't a squash, which is good. But, yeah, like, overall, top to bottom, Collision was just, from in-ring wrestling standpoint, like, every match was delivered. So that would give that whole show my slam of the week, especially since Kofi got squashed. But well, that was last Monday. That wasn't this Monday. But I didn't see any of the matches from Raw this past Monday or last Monday, and I was at home for SmackDown. So
I did hear that on Dynamite that Jeff Hardy and Moxie had a good match. I caught the end of it, but I heard they had a good match. So, and shout out to Jeff Hardy, because sometimes we could be hard on him and Matt for that matter. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think, with good reason.
yeah.
But I'm glad to see that you can still put on a great match. And I mean that with all the respect in the world.
Yeah.
We all have entertained us for so long. But, you know, you understand.
And
but shout out to that match.
He had a good match with Swerve last week, too. The week before on Dynamite, Jeff Hardy.
I'm sorry, bro. My slam of the week, I caught this shit. It's Rob Van Dam against Swerve, man.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be mine until I saw Collision, and then Collision just tapped him out of the way. Yeah. What? RVD, son. RVD still got it on a high level, bro.
That was like a good... That wasn't like a... I'm not stretching it to say it was like, oh, he did good for his age. Like, no, that was...
Yeah.
That was like a Rob Van Dam match.
Yeah. I think the thing I love the most about that match... And so it was a pick your poison match. So Swerve, Hangman had to pick Swerve's opponent and the stipulation. Swerve didn't know about the stipulation part. He only knew about the opponent part. So, you know, RVD comes out and then Hangman appears on the Titantron. So Swerve's looking at the Titantron. He's like, hey, Swerve, in case you didn't know, I don't just pick your opponent, I pick the stipulation. And you're facing RVD. In a hardcore match. And as soon as Swerve turns around to look back at RVD, he gets a chair thrown in his face. I'm like, oh, that's God. How you start the match. That's how you do it. Just off the rip, just start going hard. And it's from then, it was a good match, man.
I missed the beginning. I caught it like in the middle way through. I caught it right when Van Damme was doing his spinning kick off the apron to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, let's watch this. And it just kept going
hard, bro. Going hard. Going. Like, oh,
this Rob Van Dam looks good, yo.
Mm-hmm.
He has he slowed down his career at the right time.
Yeah,
to manage his body.
Yeah,
and
definitely,
yo, he can still do it when he wants, man. So shout out to Rob Van Dam, yo.
I was so remiss to not
mention that. I did enjoy the hell out of that. That's all I got, yo. But that was, oh man.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, shout out to Rob Van Dam. Oh man. And then if you want a Toni Storm inappropriate comment update, they were in New Orleans for Dynamite on Wednesday, and she was like, I love New Orleans. Last time I was here, I got a lovely set of beads, but they weren't from my neck.
Oh my.
Anal beads popping. Popping my one by one.
Toni Storm.
She is.
You ain't no good.
Toni Storm is one of them ones too, though, respectfully speaking. She's one of them ones.
Yeah, I imagine.
Nah, listen, man, thicker than a Snicker boy. But I think that's it. We got Raw tonight. We got Dynamite Wednesday. We'll see. I wonder if Seth or Cody opens up the show tonight. To Might be further along.
Seth must be seething.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that. And R-Truth. R-Truth had an explanation this weekend. He says he's still in Judgment Day, and that was just him getting jumped in. That was his initiation. So now he's officially a member. So we'll see where that goes this Monday. And
I do hope he has a legit. I want to see. Honestly, I really would love to see either him against Dom at WrestleMania or him against JD McDonagh.
Yeah.
It don't got to be a long match, but he deserves a fucking match, yo.
Hell yeah.
He's been too good the last couple months. So
give my man a moment.
How that pans out. Or maybe they'll do a tag with The Miz against the both of them or something like that. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that something like that got to go down. Something that has to go down.
And then Dynamite is loaded this Wednesday. They got Sting and Darby Allin fighting for the tag team titles against my man Ricky Starks and Big Bill.
Flight Jacket Sting, man.
Yeah. And I think it's Swerve versus Hangman 3. The winner faces the winner gets to face Samoa Joe for the world title, and then there was one big match, another big match they announced. Toni Storm will be in ring action as well, so it's always good to see her. And Mariah,
check it out.
That Mariah May chick is growing on me too. You know what I'm saying? She got a little shoes. She like. And then we'll see if Tony Khan does announce Mercedes. Impending arrival to AEW. Yeah, man. And then But that's about it, man.
We'll see how it goes, yo. Happy wrestling watching this week, yo.
Listen, happy year. Happy Black History Month. I think I'm about to watch some Too Cold Scorpio matches.
Enjoy that, man.
You know what I mean?
What's a move?
Yeah. But other than that, that's all we got for you. I'm not going to steal Tony Storm's catchphrase anymore. It's hers.
We'll work on a sign-off.
Yeah, we'll work on a sign-off. Until then, be good to each other and yourselves. Word to Jerry Springer.
Yo, let's just steal other people's sign-offs until we
get on, you
know, I got one for next week. Yo, word. Y'all be good.
Word. Peace.